3, and I wanted to preach this morning, but the Lord knows best, and I actually want to preach it this morning and tonight, so I got to talk fast, you got to listen fast, all right, yeah, the rest of y'all said, please don't preach that long. We know the text. Paul is giving Timothy some warning. Look at verse 1, 2 Timothy 3. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Let's pray. Father, we do love you tonight, and we're so thankful, Lord, for the good singing. Thank you, Lord, that we do serve a risen Savior, and that you are alive, and you're well, and you're on the throne. And Lord, I'm glad you are making intercession for us, and we're thankful, Lord, that you'll never leave us nor forsake us. You'll go with us always. And we do ask you, Father, in the name of Jesus, that you'd have mercy on the message, that you would illuminate our mind, our heart, our mouth, and enable us to preach with the anointing of the Spirit. And Lord, you know the hearts of each one here. You know what we stand in need of. But Lord, most of all, if there's one here unsaved, we pray you save them. Lead, guide, and direct in truth, and we'll give you thanks. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. Now, verse number 1 is very familiar. Paul told Timothy, this know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. Now, Paul is talking in the future tense, but here you and I are in 2025, and we can say perilous times have come. But I want to preach this evening, if God will help me, on positive things about perilous times. Pause, you say, preacher, that sounds like what'd you call one of them things? Oxymoron. Yeah, that's it. You say it's an oxymoron standing in the pulpit. But anyway, positive things about perilous times. Now, folks, it is a fact that we are in the last days and we are in perilous times. Who'd ever thought that what people used to run from 25 years ago, that people are embracing that stuff today? And we could go on. I think about my childhood, and I've been thinking a lot about my childhood since last week, a priest in my childhood church. But I can remember things that, I mean, people vocally stood against 40 years ago. And I keep thinking 40 years ago, I was 15 years old. I mean, 40 years ago, that people vocally, I mean, things that the Bible calls sin, people call them that. Now, 40 years later, that we're looking at things like, well, that's not so bad. Amen. Now, I'm not going into any details. I wouldn't do that. But I know some pastors that pastored from the 50s to the 90s that had such standards in the church. Most people would they wouldn't even go near that now. And we're embracing this. Amen. Folks like this, and again, this is we got a skeleton crew here tonight, but we all need preaching. And I'm talking about Bible Babies Church again, and I say this every time, and I'll continue to do it because I don't want to bring any confusion. But those that are members here, your name's on the roll. We have a dress standard. Right. Amen. Our women wear dresses to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. Amen. Men wear long pants. Right. Sunday morning. Hey, talking about members here. Right. Amen. That's in our bylaws. Right. You say, preacher, that you done got old fashioned. I may be old fashioned, but I still believe in it. Amen. This is the best place I go. Amen. I don't go anywhere more sacred than this. Right. I promise you, if you had a meeting with the president, I didn't even mean to preach this. But if you had a meeting with the president, you wouldn't show up in shorts and tank top flip flops. You wouldn't go in the Oval Office looking like that. Why you don't go in God's house looking like that? I'm talking about saved church members. Now, I ain't talking about unsaved people. I ain't talking about visitors. You know, if you're visiting, I ain't talking to you. I'm talking about saved people. You wouldn't show up in the Oval Office, looking like you need to be spray dipped and wormed. Amen. You'd go find something nice. Amen. Because why? Why? Because, man, I'm going to stand before the president. I'm going in the Oval Office. Man, I want to look right. Folks, I'm going into God's world. The Lord, he don't look at that kind of stuff. Well, if he don't, I don't know why he put all that in the Bible. Amen. That's the fact. We quit reading those things in the Word of God. I still believe in respect in the house of God. Amen. That's a thing of the past now. Hey, men love, I ain't going to preach this message. Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. Do you notice now, instead of making the church, folks, when we remodeled this and changed lights, it wasn't bright enough in here for me. I've got used to it. But now we cut the lights, people cut the lights off. Yeah, preacher, I ain't never coming back here. I don't want that to happen, but you might as well know where we stand while you're here. I'm talking about saved church members. Now, I want to make that disclaimer, saved church. If you're saved, you're a member here. We got a standard for things. Amen. And because now we darken the lights. I mean, it's dark as a movie theater out there. Man, men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. That's right. When the smoke comes on the stage, what's that? That's camouflaging things that shouldn't be. Amen. When I see smoke, I think it's time to get the water hose out and put out fires. Years ago, and I'm going to get to this message. Years ago, me and my daddy was raking leaves. We had this big water oak. I'm not sure if Arnett planted that water oak or not. She didn't plant it. Reason I said that because we bought a house from her. And that tree, to me, at that time, that was the biggest tree. And if you ever had a water oak, you know it's got a million of them little leaves. Well, them things fail every fall. Well, back when I was growing up, you had two rakes, two arms, and a back. We didn't have leaf blowers. Our lawnmower hardly worked, so it was in the shed. And me and Daddy raked. And we raked all Saturday. I remember one, we had this big weeping willow tree, and we was out there raking that stuff up, and I was moaning and groaning until that rake went across my back. But anyway, we'd pile those leaves out toward as much of the field part as we could, and Daddy would flip a cool filter on there and light it up. Well, it was burning, and it was going pretty good, and looked like it was contained. And my daddy said the magic word: "Let's go get a sandwich." And we went in the kitchen. We sat in there eating, and we looked out the window of the kitchen, which was at the front of the house, and there was smoke coming by. And I didn't pay it much attention. I just kept eating. Daddy said, "Whoa, come on!" And that stuff done about burnt the yard up. So when I used to see smoke, I'd grab a water hose. I wanted to flush that out. Amen. Amen. Right. So I said all that to say this: see smoke, get some water, all right? But we men love darkness rather than light. And folks, the darkness of the world is like smoke is floating inside the church. But that's not even my message. That's just I don't know what that was. But notice the list, and this is just introduction. Notice the list of the activities in the last days and what the Bible describes as perilous times. We understand what the word perilous means. It means dangerous, hazardous, full of risk. Now, again, in the text, how do I know these things? There's three things in verse 2, There's bad character. Look at it. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. That's a list of bad character. Now, folks, the philosophy of the world is love yourself. Now, again, folks, I think that most of us in the flesh loves ourselves because we nourish ourselves. But we understand that is a picture of pride. When self is so engrossed, we just so engrossed with self. So that list there, we see bad character. But then in verse 3 and 4, we see bad conduct. He said, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God. That's bad conduct. And then verse 5, I could preach on those things, but that's not the message. But then in verse 5, we see bad credibility. He said, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Now, folks, we got a command. We have a list of attitudes, a list of actions, and a list of attributes of people in the last days, and God's people are supposed to do what? Turn away from them. We've been commanded to do what? Separate. From such, turn away. From such, turn away. And we're turning to that. We're embracing that. We are turning a deaf ear and a blinded eye to that when the Bible says turn away from it. But I want to get to this. This is, you say, preacher, didn't you say the word positive? Yes, I'm getting there. But even while the Lord wants us to know what last days and perilous times look like, He never wants us to lose hope, to lose heart, and to lose our hallelujah joy in these days. See, I still think the Lord said in Philippians 2:15 that we are to shine as lights in the world. We are to shine as lights in the world. And folks, we cannot shine as lights in the world if we get so tore up about the things that are happening in last days that we cannot function. I still believe you ought to be shouting. The joy of the Lord is still our strength. The power of God is still real. So I want to notice a few things quickly. Man, I ran through that introduction. I want to notice a few things about positive things. Positive things about perilous times. Notice number one, in perilous times, get this, simple preaching, the Savior will still be faithful. Yeah. Yeah, that's a positive, isn't it? Positive things about perilous times. The Savior will still be faithful. Now, folks, in the last days, here's what's happening. Fearful, the feeling of fear, and the feeling of forsaken. That's where we are. We're fearful that if we make a stand for God, we'll be forsaken by others, and we will. But the Lord will still be faithful. Now, let me give you some examples. We'll go to number two. Jesus has shown us, He will show up in the most fearful times. You remember after Christ died? After Christ died in the Gospel of John, chapter 20, verse number 19. Listen to this. The same day at evening. Now, Christ had died and resurrected. The same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled. Now get this. Christ had died. He was hated of the world. And folks, honestly, in this text, and I'm getting to where I'm going, in this text, I'm not gonna keep you all night. I'll come back to it Wednesday if I need to. But in this text, this moment was probably one of the most godless times in history. Folks, they just crucified the Lord Jesus. The multitude had just cried, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" They just yelled that from the top of their lungs. That was one of the most godless times. And now they are assembled together with the doors shut. That tells me bolted down for fear of the Jews. You know what they're afraid of? What they did to Jesus. They're going to come and get us and do this the same way. Fear. Satan, hey, if you make a sound for Jesus, if you make a stand for Jesus, if you separate for Jesus, they're going to destroy you. And they try. But notice this. When the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, listen, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, "Peace be unto you." In one of the most godless times in the world. Folks, how ungodly can it get? They just killed the Son of God. They just crucified him. They hated him without a cause. He came into his own received him not. It's a fearful, fearful time. But God proved his faithfulness. Amen. He proved his faithfulness in fearful times. And folks, I don't know. Again, I'm trying not to get political. But folks, my hope is not in Trump. My hope is not in anybody that's holding offices in Washington. There's only so much anybody can do. And that, hey, we're not going to stop prophecy. We're not going to stop last days. We're not going to stop perilous times. Folks, as a matter of fact, I say, come on and let's get it done so we can get out of here. Amen. That's right. Let's go ahead and get all this over with so the trump of God can sound. Amen. But even in the most fearful, fearful, fearful times, Christ will be faithful. Right. But then we think about fearful times. We think about being forsaken. Jesus has shown us he will show up in times of being miserably forsaken. In our most fearful times and in times that we're most miserably forsaken. I'll tell you another bad time. The Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul, God gave him a long ministry. God gave him the mystery of the church. God blessed him. And God used him, but he suffered a lot for Jesus. And in 2 Timothy chapter 4, he is about to lose his head for Jesus. And he made a statement while he's writing to Timothy in 2 Timothy 4, 16, and the first part of verse 17, and he said this, "At my first answer," listen, "no man stood with me, but all men forsook me." Get a hold of that. Now I'm talking about the Savior will still be faithful in perilous times. In our most fearful times, he's faithful. In our most forsaken times, he said, all men had forsook me. He said, I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. I pray it won't be laid to their charge, Andrew. You know what that tells me? They were supposed to be standing with him. And they forsook him. They abandoned him. They left him there to die. Folks, a lot of times we fear that. We fear that, especially in the last days. I'm going to make this stand and ain't nobody going to stand with me. I'm going to live this way and ain't nobody going to live it with me. You know, it happened to Paul. And then he had the grace and the spirituality to even pray for those that God wouldn't whoop them for it. Man, that's rich. I'd have been praying, Lord, cut all their heads off before mine gets gone. But he didn't. He said, I pray that the Lord not lay it to their charge. You know why? Notwithstanding. He said, you know why I'm praying this? Notwithstanding. You know why I'm praying this? That's what it means. The Lord stood with me and strengthened me. The Lord stood with me and he strengthened me. Hey, when the Lord is strengthening you and standing with you, kind of hard to hold a grudge. Kind of hard of being scared and fearful. Everybody's forsook you, but God says, hey, just like Paul, he done experienced it. Eurocladon, I done preached it Wednesday night. He said, the Lord stood with me. He knew all about the Lord standing with him, but nobody else was staying with him. Hey, folks, you may have to stand alone as far as man's concerned, but we'll never stand alone when God's concerned. Hallelujah. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. That's a positive in perilous times that the Savior will remain faithful. Amen. I mean, there's a whole lot more I could say there, but I won't. Notice this. I'm going to hurry. Number two. Positive in perilous times. The Savior will be faithful. Then get this. The seed can still be fruitful. The seed can still be fruitful. Preacher, what are you trying to say? Again, I'm not going to have you turn. The parable of the sower, Matthew 13. The kingdom of heaven is like. Talking about the age that we live in, the church age. And one of the parables, there's seven parables in Matthew 13. And one of the parables is the parable of the sower. S-O-W-E-R, sowing, seed. Now, that seed fell on four different pieces of ground, which represent hearts. The sower is the Christ, the seed is the Word of God. Now, in the last days, that seed, some's going to fall by the wayside. As he sowed, the fowls came and devoured the seed. That's a picture of Satan stealing away the seed of the Word of God out of the hearts of people before it ever takes root. That happens in these days. Then stony ground, hard hearts where the seed of God's Word can't even take root. Thorny places, the thorny place ground, they receive the seed of God's Word with joy, but before it can take root, the course and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the Word out. Now, if we stop there, we'd be saying, why do we go out and sow seed? Why do we go out and witness? Why do we go knock doors? Why do we tell people about Christ? It just falls by the wayside. Or it falls on stony ground, or it falls on thorny places. Hey, we're in the last days, we're in perilous times, because some of it still falls on good ground. It don't all fall on good ground, but some of it falls on good ground. But the Lord said, that quarter of it that falls on good ground, praise God, it'll come up 100-fold, 60-fold, and 30-fold, even in perilous times. That's why the church is still here. I'm talking about us that are saved. We're still supposed to be sowing seed. I'm talking about the Word of God. There was a man told me years ago, this is years ago now, this is probably back in the early 80s, maybe late 70s, that a man told him, said the church that they went to had a visitation program. The soul went. And this man that were faithful to go, he quit going. And they asked him, and he was honest in his heart. He wasn't lying. He said, what's the use? It's not doing any good. He wasn't trying to be ugly. He just said, I don't know, I'm not wasting my time. He don't do any good. And what he meant was, he might not even understood what he meant. What he meant was, I've been sowing seed and it's fell by the wayside. I've been sowing seed in these perilous times and it's fell on stony ground. I've been sowing seed, the Word of God, in these perilous last days and it's just been on thorny places. It's not done any good. But what he failed to think about was, hey, don't stop sowing seed. We've been commanded to sow it. It's not up to us where it lands. We just sow it everywhere. Everywhere we get an opportunity, because some of it, not all of it, but some of it will fall on good ground and it'll produce 100-fold, 60-fold, 30-fold. That's what the Bible said. So, folks, that's a positive in perilous times. Let's keep sowing the seed of the Word of God out there. The seed can still be fruitful. Christ will still be, the Savior will still be faithful. The seed will still be fruitful. The question is, have you stopped sowing seed of the Word of God? Huh? Have you stopped sowing the seed of the Word of God? Number three, I love this pulpit. By the way, it's good to have the prodigal daughter back with us tonight, signing. I'm proud of her. She's been on deputation. She's been in a lot of different countries, cities, places, states. And she's at 22% of support. Amen. Amen. That's a blessing, Miss Lois. Glad you're here. You can get some help tonight. Don't look at me. Just work them fingers over there. The Savior will be faithful. The seed will be fruitful. Get this. The sinner can still be forgiven. That's a positive in perilous times. Folks, you understand it was a perilous time in Acts 16 when Paul and Silas was beaten and thrown in jail for preaching. You know, we call the day. Folks, I believe the whole church age has been perilous times. If you study Paul's epistles, you study those churches, they're dealing with the same stuff we're dealing with. We've been in the last days since Jesus died. We've been in the last days since Christ died and rose the third day. We've been in the last days ever since. So, Paul and Silas, they done got beaten, thrown in jail, and we know the story at midnight. You know what they could have done? I ain't sowing no more seed. I ain't preaching another word. I'm done with this. Man, I don't deserve to get beat like this. And you and I go home and cry and pack up our chair and go home when somebody says a little negative about us. We done bawling and pouting. Come on. Preacher has to beg you 2 months to come back to church. Come on. We got people who won't be faithful now because they just feel like people don't like them or feel like, I'm not appreciated. Well, who is? I don't feel like half of y'all appreciate me, but I ain't staying out of church over it. Y'all don't pat me on the back enough, but I'm coming on to church. Didn't that sound silly? Because it is. Well, it's a rough crowd. Get this, folks. People still getting saved. Amen. Folks, we're in the last days, and folks, we've run that baptistry. Now, that water don't save them, but that water's the evidence that they got saved. They identify with the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Hey, we can't quit sowing seed. God's still saving sinners. Wouldn't it be a blessing if you was leading the last one to Jesus? Wouldn't you be glad you got to heaven as you showed up for visitation? Or you actually, when the Spirit of God prompted your heart to witness to somebody, you did it? And by the time they call on the Lord and get saved, the trump of God sounds? Somebody's going to be the last one. Now, I don't claim to understand all that. I don't want to argue any of that. But somebody was the first, and somebody's going to be the last one. And that trumpet's going to sound. Let me hurry. So we see the Savior will still be faithful. The seed will still be fruitful. The sinner can still be forgiven. And then fourthly, the Scriptures can still furnish. So let me read you some Scripture. I'm going to go to the last one. In the text, chapter 3, verse 13 through 17, the Scriptures can still furnish. Look what Paul tells Timothy here, beginning in verse number 13 of chapter 3. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. This is talking about last days. That's where we are. But listen, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known what? The Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. The Scripture will still furnish us what we need. Hallelujah. Don't close your Bible. It's the most up-to-date book you own. Lastly, the Spirit can still be fresh. Talking about perilous times. Talking about last days. Again, we've been in last days since Jesus came. We're going to be in last days till He comes again. So it was John the Apostle that was exiled to the Isle of Patmos. As a matter of fact, they tried to boil him in water, but God said, I'm not quite done with him. And wouldn't let him die. Folks, you understand, if you're in the will of God, I don't think nobody can take your life. If God's not done with you, He's not done with you. Well, they tried to boil him. Then they exiled him to Patmos. Because I'm talking about the Spirit can still be fresh. I mean, this man had been through all that. Revelation 1, 9 and 10. Listen here. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation. Paul said, I'm your brother in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, who Christ was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. So let's stop here. Don't go to verse 10. Let me read that again. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. He done been boiled, could die, exiled. Verse 10, I was in the Spirit. Amen. On the Lord's day. Yes. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Hey, they might have tried to take him away from the church. They tried to take him away, tried to take his life, but he said, I still feel with the Holy Ghost. Amen. The Spirit of God was still freshening his heart. Right. Folks, there's nothing like when the Spirit of God strengthens your heart. Everybody can be against you. Everything can come against you. The wiles of the devil is fighting you and turmoil and trouble and trial on every hand. But if the Spirit of God is enlightening you and strengthening you, Paul said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Hey, folks, we are in perilous times. But the Spirit of God can still be fresh. The Scriptures can still furnish. The sinner can still be forgiven. Hallelujah. Did you like that? Amen. The seed can still be fruitful. And the Savior will still be faithful. In the last days. Positives about perilous times. Let's all stand together. I ran through that. Miss Courtney's coming. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. If you need to come to the altar tonight, you come. Folks are coming.